Welcome to Conquering Our Unseen Enemies. In this podcast, we help believers develop spiritual discernment. I am your host, Dawn Simmons, author, speaker, and YouTube host of Life Journey with Dawn Simmons. My purpose here is to explain Satan's strategies and how his kingdom functions to better equip you in reducing conflict, chaos, and ultimately eliminate Satan's influence in your life. These are life-changing conversations. We'll get started with this week's message in just a few moments, but first I want to ask you, would you like to know more about biblical history or historic and biblical places? Visit my YouTube channel, Life Journey with Dawn Simmons, to watch and learn about travels in historic areas discussed in the Bible. Come with us as we explore ancient places and share cultural background and influences on early Christianity. We will take you places where Paul wrote and shared the gospel. That's Life Journey with Dawn Simmons on YouTube. Welcome back. I am your host, Dawn Simmons, and in this episode of Conquering Our Unseen Enemies, we are going to be discussing the spirit of rebellion. And why does rebellion seem so attractive? We will look at rebellion from the beginning and see how it played out in the Bible. Then we will discuss how we get caught in the trap of rebellion and why so many people fall for Satan's trap. Before we begin, I want to ask our regular listeners to consider supporting us each week as we work to provide you quality and useful information each week. This is kingdom information. Your support is appreciated more than we can express. And you can show your support at buzzsprout.com/1995558/support. And there is a link in the notes. And again, we truly appreciate that. When we think about Satan, we likely draw some inference in our imagination to evil and come up with some imagery of what we think evil looks like. The first time we meet Satan is in Genesis 3. He appears to Eve in the Garden of Eden as a serpent. So Satan presents himself not as he appears in his own natural state, but rather how he wants us to see him, how he wanted Eve to perceive him. From there, he can begin to engage with her. Notice that a serpent spoke to Eve and she spoke back. If this were us, and a snake began to speak to us, I doubt we would just respond and continue the conversation. We don't want to overlook that point, however, because it gives us insight into an interesting principle that still applies today. The principle we learn in that interaction, short as it is that Satan can and will communicate with us, and it is up to us to make a choice on how we will respond. So let's look at how Eve responds. First, she engages in conversation. I don't know that she understood who she was talking to. The Bible doesn't give us insight into how much of what we would consider the unseen world was revealed to Adam and Eve. We don't know if the unseen world was in fact unseen to them. By this point in time, we only know the fall of Satan had occurred. Jesus tells us a little bit about it in Luke 10:18, and it says this, "He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Now, I think that must have been a sad day. That was the first rebellion. We do it every day, so maybe it doesn't seem so shocking, but it had to have deeply hurt God, so see, you know, just to see all of this happen, right? Now, Satan is a created being, just like we are. So when Eve first encounters Satan, or at least it is the first encounter we are made aware of, meaning not every single event or act that has occurred is included in the Bible. God provided what we need, not all the information there ever was. So when we see Eve encounter the serpent, what is the first thing Satan does? As the conversation begins, Satan creates a wedge that he slowly starts to weave into the conversation through doubt. And he pulls Eve into the conversation. He's just really gently hammering that wedge in place to create a divide between her and the relationship that she and Adam had with God. Once Adam entered the picture, we don't see the serpent in the conversation, only Eve pulling Adam into her sin. Now, Adam participates in an act of rebellion against God that he knows is contrary to what God has told him. Satan successfully created a divide, and their daily walks with God in the cool of the day, as described in Genesis 3:8, which says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?'" When we look at how this encounter worked so well, we see that Satan masterfully used deception as a way to lead Adam and Eve into rebellion against God. Satan knew exactly what the result would be for Adam and Eve. He didn't care what happened to them. The more he can do to tear apart God's creations, the better. He used deception to convince Eve that God was not truthful, that what God said was a lie to keep all the good stuff for himself, as if God were withholding the best from them for his own selfish reasons. Remember that while Eve is being told this, she is standing in the most lush land and diverse yet peaceful animal community ever created. She was standing in an earthly heaven in the Garden of Eden. How much more could she have wanted than what she already had? Yet even in all of that, Satan managed to convince her that she could have more. Why? Why does rebellion seem so attractive? When we're considering rebellion, we are in essence saying that we're questioning the nature of God. We are saying that God cannot be trusted. We are saying that what Jesus did, which is what we are celebrating this week, was nothing. The life that Jesus gave for us, his death and resurrection, none of that was enough. Let's go to the Garden of Gethsemane for a minute, Matthew 26:39, and let's see what Jesus is experiencing. Here's what it says. "Going a little farther, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will.'" Jesus knows that he is about to, you know, what he's about to experience. He obviously doesn't want to. And in a moment of prayer, he speaks to his Father and says, if there's any way he can avoid it, then please arrange it. But if not, then he'll follow his Father's will. Jesus had a moment there where if he had chosen rebellion, he could have spared himself. He had free will, just as we do. He chose his Father. Jesus was afraid, so fearful that he sweat blood. Satan was working to create everything that was about to take place, all the evil acts, the betrayal of Jesus, all to ensure the death of Jesus. Fear. Satan was using fear. Now, if we go back to the Garden of Eden, I'm sure when Adam and Eve were banished from their beautiful garden, a garden created specifically for them, I am sure when they look out at that vast, barren darkness that awaited them, I'm sure they were fearful. The land was no longer full of food. They were going to have to do that themselves. Their lives changed forever. Physically, their lives changed forever. They would have lived forever in the Garden of Eden. But now they were going to start to experience what we experience as we grow older. Spiritually, their lives changed. You know, they began to experience their own death, which wasn't present up to that moment. Animals did not pursue each other. There were no carnivores up to that point. Now, after this, the animal kingdom had predators and prey. And then man was brought into that kingdom as both a predator and a prey. As if that wasn't bad enough, the unthinkable happens. One of their sons commits the first murder. So then they experience their first loss of life, their son. Rebellion breeds sin. When we take that first step, we don't stop at one step. Rebellion is a staircase that progressively leads us deeper down into sinful behavior. And the consequences continue to build. We are choosing self-will. We are choosing our own ways, or we think we are. In reality, we are choosing Satan's ways. Our free will that will eventually end because we become so ensnared in sin and its consequences that we will eventually feel we're being choked out of our life. So back to the question of why does it seem so attractive? Well, first, we don't always realize we are entering into rebellion. It starts slowly. We rationalize or justify what we're about to do. We say things like, I earned it, or just this one time, it can't hurt. Then we move to no one will know, and we begin trying to hide sin. The consequences will still come, no matter how hard you try to hide rebellion. God will not be mocked. Second, our desire to obtain what the rebellion provides becomes more important than what God provides. The rebellion provides a short-term benefit. And over time, that short-term benefit won't be enough. More will be wanted, and deeper we go down that staircase. Now, third, we aren't willing to be honest with ourselves that our rebellion is taking us to a place that is drawing us further from God. Fourth, we would rather continue in rebellion than to have to admit we're involved in things we should not be. But, you know, we don't want to have to admit what we're doing. Fifth, we have become so engaged in what we're receiving while we're in rebellion, so whether it's money, sex, various addictions, status, possessions, that we no longer want a relationship with our Creator, with the great I Am. Satan knows our weaknesses. He knows what he can use to draw us further away and deeper into rebellion with him. From the beginning, Satan set the traps of rebellion before you. You have the free will to turn away and go toward God, or you can choose to accept what Satan is offering and walk the path of rebellion. Rebellion is turning our back on God. Rebellion is the source of evil. Satan is the father of lies, and everything he offers is a lie and temporal. So why do so many people fall for this trap from Satan? Well, let's think about this. Satan rebelled from God as a result of his pride and his desire to become God or overthrow God. He's selfish, narcissistic, self-absorbed, arrogant, greedy, self-righteous, vain, howdy. What else, you know, was in Satan that drove his rebellion? All of those qualities, he uses all of those against our weaknesses. So we begin to believe we should have whatever he's offering us to pull us into rebellion. However, he can twist the truth to turn your heart and mind against God, as if God were keeping things from you. You deserve more than what you have. You should have XYZ. All of these tactics are what he did in the beginning, what he's doing now, and what he will do after we're all gone until the end of times. Because for the most part, people are pretty shallow and not interested in the deep things of God and fulfilling our kingdom purposes. You know, rebellion seems tantalizing. I mean, YOLO. Everybody said YOLO, you only live once, right? Life is short. Might as well enjoy it. You know, people say that. These sayings are repeated mindlessly without consideration for the references being made and the resulting decision made. We need to be better than that and keep ourselves focused on what matters. Relationship. In the end, relationship, not rebellion, will be what you have to show in your YOLO. That rhymed, and I didn't even mean to do that. If we make the wrong choice, it's a costly choice. Here is how God views the rebellion of man. 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. And then in Proverbs 17:11, evildoers foster rebellion against God. The messenger of death will be sent against them. When I read that, I hear God saying, if you want to rebel, you're partnering with Satan himself, and I will have no part of you. Those are words I never want to hear. Not out of fear. It would just hurt my heart if that is how God saw me. Most people see God as someone who only wants us to be afraid of him. You know, this big, mean guy. But no, he wants relationship with us. We should have a healthy fear of him, just like you would of a grizzly bear or a white shark. But you still respect that grizzly bear or white shark. You can have an appreciation of them. Unlike the bear or the shark, God rewards, God blesses, God supports, God comforts, God provides everything we need. He counsels, God creates. When you think of those things in those terms, I don't think rebellion seems so attractive. I know people who are years into recovery from various addictions. I'm sure they would not see rebellion as attractive. The man or woman who's lost their family due to their infidelities, they may not see rebellion as attractive anymore. We need to wake up as a church. We need to see Satan for what he is, a void, a darkness that offers us nothing in rebellion. God is the provider of all things. Rebellion is death. God is life. We're going to end with the words of Jesus. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it to the full. John 10:10. I hope this has been time that inspires you to want to learn to grow in your relationship with the Lord and build your desire to partner with him. We want to grow with him and learn how to work with him to build the kingdom and conquer our unseen enemies. The more we grow, the more our life will change, and you can help change the lives of anyone around you who is willing. If you are growing through our podcast, consider supporting us each month as we continue to build the kingdom of God. That's at buzzsprout.com/1995558. That is our podcast number, /support. If you know anyone who might benefit from this, please share. All right, as always, let's discuss our top show points. We were discussing why the spirit of rebellion seems attractive. We went to Genesis 3, and we talked about how Satan appears to Eve in the Garden of Eden as a serpent. And Satan presents himself not as he is, but how he wants us to see him. Satan can and will communicate with us, and it's up to us to make the choice on how we will respond. Eve responds and engages in conversation. Jesus tells us a little bit in Luke 10:18 about the fall. This is what it says. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Satan creates a wedge through doubt to create a divide between Eve and her relationship with God as well as with Adam. Adam participates in an act of rebellion against God that he knows is contrary to what God has told him. Satan successfully created a divide in Genesis 3:8. We read, "Then the man and the wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, 'Where are you?'" Satan used deception as a way to lead Adam and Eve into rebellion against God. When we are considering rebellion, we're questioning the nature of God, that God saying that God cannot be trusted. We're saying that what Jesus did, his death and resurrection, was not enough. Then we looked at Matthew 26:39, and we took a look at what Jesus was experiencing, which says, "Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will.'" When Adam and Eve were banished from the Garden of Eden, their lives changed forever. Physically, their lives changed, and spiritually, their lives changed. One of their sons commits murder, and all of this is a result of rebellion. Rebellion breeds sin. When we take that first step, we don't stop at one step. Why does rebellion seem so attractive? First, we don't always realize we're entering into rebellion. We rationalize or justify what we're about to do. Second, our desire to obtain what rebellion provides becomes more important than what God provides. Third, we aren't willing to be honest with ourselves that our rebellion is taking us to a place that's drawing us further from God. Fourth, we would rather continue in rebellion than to have to admit that we're involved in things we should not be. And fifth, we have become so engaged in what we're receiving that we no longer want a relationship with God. Rebellion is turning our back on God. Rebellion is the source of evil. Satan is the father of lies, and everything he offers is a lie. So why do so many people fall for this trap from Satan? Well, Satan rebelled from God as a result of his pride and his desire to become God, and Satan uses our weaknesses against us to pull us into rebellion. Here is how God views the act of rebellion. We talked about 1 Samuel 15:23, "For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." And then Proverbs 17:11, "Evildoers foster rebellion against God. The messenger of death will be sent against them." Finally, we need to wake up as a church. We need to see Satan for what he is, a void, a darkness that offers nothing in rebellion, and understand that God is the provider of all things. Rebellion is death, and God is life. And finally, we talked about John 10:10, which is, "The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy, and I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Now, we encourage you to have an active Bible reading plan if you want a personal relationship with the Lord. You need to be active about reading His Word. If you want to learn more about how to hear God's voice, pick up my book. I talk about it every week because it's that important. If we want to be able to work with God, then we need to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us and guiding us in our lives. And you can get that at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or our website, lovingconversationssalo.com. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and my book, Conquering Our Unseen Enemies, understanding Satan's tactics and how he tries to deceive us. It's a lot of the things we talk about here every week. I have enjoyed our time this week and look forward to spending time with you again next week.
That is all we have for this week's episode of Conquering Our Unseen Enemies. I hope you enjoyed your time with me, and I would kindly ask you to rate our show and follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Conquering Our Unseen Enemies. Now, if you have a story or a question you want to share, please email me at contact@conqueringourunseenenemies.com. We do not need to use your name. And finally, please share this podcast with anyone you think might need it and enjoy it. So until next time, remember, the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. But we can give him an eviction notice